Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is 2012, and the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of God's favor. And we should be striving to seek God's favor, because God's favor is God's amazing grace. And I want you to know that his grace is amazingly amazing. But when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We want to, Brother Sparks informed us that a young man was seriously injured, the Lee family. And we want to bow right now and say a word of prayer for that family, because the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Father, we stretch our hands to thee because there's no other help we know. Lord, if you withdraw yourself from us, or whether shall we go? Father, we come this morning like empty pitchers before a filled fountain. And Father, we know that you can do everything but fail. And so we come this morning, we lift up the Lee family, the young man who was seriously injured, and Father, who's right now in Children's Hospital. We pray, Lord, you will comfort that family and strengthen this young man and help the doctors to provide those things that this young man needs. And Father, in this prayer, I also lift up Sister Bridget Johnson. I pray, Lord, you will just comfort her heart and her husband and her family and her mother and father and sisters. Give them, Father, that encouragement and consolation that only comes from you. Bless them in a special way. And I lift up my own daughter today, Father, Christina Moss, who was in an accident. I pray for her recovery. And Father, we pray for all of our children. You'll bless them, Lord, and keep them safe. We will be so careful to give you the thanks and the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Philip, we're good to have you and your lovely wife, Angela, with us today. And I want to call your attention and to Sister Long, and we're just happy to have your beautiful daughters. I knew who they were when they walked in. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 is the place. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Philippians. The chapter is number 4, and the verse for your consideration is verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for a splendid job in leading our hymns today. I want to thank Brother Hillary for a beautiful reading of the scripture, Brother Milton for a magnificent prayer, and Brother Brandon for the stellar job you continue to do in the invocation. Philippians 4, verse number 19. You have that, say amen. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Using this text, I want to speak from the subject, the gospel and the hierarchy of needs. The gospel and the hierarchy of needs. That great scholar and preacher and King Solomon, with such mental clarity, said, of all you're getting, get understanding. Solomon was spot on. And even today, the great king has gone the way of all the earth. His advice is still pertinent to us today. And so to facilitate understanding, I want to define some terms. Let me define the term hierarchy. Hierarchy means a ranking or a grading of things or people according to their importance. Needs means things that are necessary to accomplish a certain objective. Needs point to lack. They point to necessity. They point to what is important. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the gospel and the hierarchy of needs. You know, sometimes people confuse their needs with their wants. Sometimes what people need, they don't want. And sometimes what they want, they don't need. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I know I don't need it, but I just want it. You ever said that? I know I have. Amen. But we should not confuse our needs, what we really need, with what we want. In the confrontation in the wilderness with the Son of God, when the devil, the evil one, the wicked one, the tempter came to Jesus and tried to get him to turn a stone into bread, Jesus reminded him that if man is really going to live on the highest level, he needs God's word. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is saying there's a connection between your higher life and the word of God. Man needs to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, in order to understand our text in the book of Philippians, I want to invite your attention back to that particular text. And I want to look at verses 18, because we really can't understand verse 19 if we don't understand contextually what's taking place in verse number 18 of the book of Philippians. And so he says in verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, what he's saying in that particular text is that the Philippian Christians had given to Paul's ministry. They had supported Paul. They had sent some financial remuneration and gifts to Paul through Epaphroditus. And they gave this contribution because God had opened their hearts. And when God opened people's hearts, beautiful things happen. And they gave to Paul And God takes care of ministry through opening people's heart. And that's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Because God himself is a cheerful giver. So consequently and subsequently, God loves every cheerful giver. So God was well pleased with them giving and supporting the Apostle Paul. And in the next verse, he said, but my God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. The NIV renders it, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his glorious riches in Christ. God will supply your needs. He may not give you everything you want, but he will supply your needs. Now, I want you to see three things today in this lesson. I want you to see, number one, the hierarchy of needs. Secondly, I want you to see looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, I want to talk about my God will supply all of your need according to his glorious riches. Now, there's a man by the name of Dr. Abraham Maslow who was a psychologist. And in 1943, he wrote a paper where he introduced the concept of the hierarchy of needs. And this paper that he wrote was entitled A Theory of Human Motivation. And in this theory, Dr. Maslow talked about that all human beings have needs. Can you say amen to that? We all have needs. And he began to rank these needs. He began to grade these needs. And he was calling these needs a hierarchy. Now, he talked about five levels of human need. So let's do it this way. Everybody see this board? Sister Moss, you can't see it. You just got to take my word for it. Now, this is a pyramid. Y'all see that? Is that all right? That's going to be number five. That's going to be number four. Number three, number two, and number one. Now, ain't that some good drawing? Amen. Now, at the bottom of this pyramid, he has what are called the physiological needs. The second area of needs are what he called security needs. Next are social needs. Next are self-esteem needs. And the fourth are what he calls self-actualization. Now, he distinguished between what are called deficiency needs, that if you lack something, it makes your life kind of uncomfortable. You lack some money, that ain't a good place to be. Like a wise man said, if you ain't got no money, by golly, you should have had some. You remember that wise man? Deficiency needs grow out of a lack of something. Something you need in your life, but you're lacking it. And then there are what he called growth needs. It's those things we need to grow as a person. Now let's talk about the first level. The first level are what he calls physiological needs. That's food for air, need for air, water, food, sleep. Everybody need that? Anybody in here don't need no air? Hold your nose and just see how it turn out. Water, everybody needs water. Everybody needs food. And everybody needs sleep. You got to sleep at some point. Is that right? In fact, in prisoner of war techniques, one way to drive a man insane is deprive him of sleep. You can drive a man out of his mind, just don't let him sleep. At some point you say, man, I got to go to sleep. And then there are security needs. These are things like a steady employment, consistent income, health insurance. Hello? A safe neighborhood. Well, when you go to bed at night, you got to feel safe. One of the reasons you lock the door, you want to feel, you want to leave the door wide open with you while you're going to bed. Is that correct? Because you have a need to feel secure. You got to have money. Amen. Got to have a place to live. You got to have insurance. You know, you think about, well, what in the world would happen to me if I got sick? And that's one good thing about Obamacare. You got to get a man credit on that one. Is that all right? And then the next level of needs are social needs. These are the needs to feel belonging to, that I'm loved and I'm accepted. Everybody want to be loved. Even the folks who say, I don't care if you don't love me or not. The reason they say that is because they need some love. Is that all right? So social need. You know, God said in the Garden of Eden, he recognized man was a social creature. He said in the Garden of Eden, it's not good for man to be. Didn't he say that? Psalms 133:1 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So these are social needs. We need other people in our lives to make our lives rich and fulfilling. And then we have what's called self-esteem needs. Those are issues of personal self-worth, self-accomplishment, self-value. You see, if you don't like yourself, it's highly unlikely anybody else gonna like you. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? We all have a need for self-esteem. Why do you think back in the day when James Brown went to talking about I'm black and what was he dealing with? The need for. That's why you don't tell your child you'll never be nothing. You ain't nothing. Your mama wasn't nothing. Your daddy, he ain't no good. You just like your no good daddy. That's why you don't use that kind of talk, because people have a need for self-esteem. Is that right? That's why they say now that a black lady spent a lot of money on hair, Hillary. Big E, how you doing, man? You and Sis Cunningham, you all right? Man, I didn't know you was a singer, man. Praise God. So we all have a need for what? Self-esteem. Is that right? And then finally, there is what Dr. Maslow talked about. It's the need for self-actualization. That is your need to grow as a person. You need to grow as a human being. Is that correct? Now, Dr. Maslow pointed out that if you don't get this taken care of and this taken care of, you won't be seeking the social and the self-esteem and the self-actualization need. If you hungry, man, you ain't worrying about no self-esteem. Hello? If you thirsty, you're not worrying about self-actualization. Is that right? And I'm telling you today, the gospel deals with all of these needs. And that's why we all need the gospel. The gospel, for example, when Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. God says, if you seek first the kingdom, I'll make sure you have water. I'll make sure you have food. I'll make sure you have the things you need. Is that all right? God says, if you seek first the kingdom, I'm going to make sure you have a place to stay. And then God put us in the context of the kingdom of God. We got brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that all right? And then my self-esteem, I can do all things through. That builds my self-esteem. Is that all right? I am somebody in Jesus Christ. And then he tells me to self-actualize, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So man is a needful creature. We're needful. We're not independent. We are dependent. Is that correct? And the gospel addresses all of my needs. You see, everybody here is looking for something. This is why a lot of people hung up on self-esteem. It's always bragging. Always bragging. Talking about who you is. I mean, who you are. Is that all right? Because they have these needs. But let's look at the gospel. How does it fit? Philosophy says that it is a steady, a rational, methodical, systematic study of the issues that are of greatest concern to people. Now I want to ask you something. What are some of the greatest issues that are of concern to you today? What occupies most of your thinking? What do you worry about the most? Is it money? Is it love? Is it security? The gospel addresses the things that are of greatest concern to you. You may not believe it. You may not even want it, but you need it. The gospel of Christ is the good news, the euangelion, about Jesus Christ. Amen. And the gospel is so important. It is to be preached to all nations. All nations need it. It is to be preached to every creature. Tell every woman, tell every man, tell every boy, tell every girl about the fact that Jesus died, and that's relevant to you. I know you're living in 2012. I know you may be a college student. I know your career may be blowing up, but I'm telling you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant to you. He died for you. That's relevant to you. Lord, brother, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. For I delivered unto you how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. Why do we keep talking to folks about this story? Because you are a needful creature. You got some needs that's got to be met. Now you see the world on Kenan Batcha. They'll fire you in a heartbeat. They'll foreclose on you. They'll lie on you. They'll beat you up and beat you down. Is that all right? The three pillars that span the bridge from time to eternity of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And I'm telling you, the gospel of Christ is relevant to your physiological needs. Jesus cared about people's physical needs. One day 5,000 people couldn't eat. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and opened up a Captain D's on a grassy hillside. Didn't he do it? Because he was concerned about people's need for food. Is that correct? He's concerned about my need for security. He tell me, don't worry. Don't be anxious for nothing, he says. Isn't that security needs? But in everything, with thanksgiving and prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. Is that right? My social need, he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Is that all right? My self-esteem needs, I become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, what all things are become new. And you know the beauty of God. God allows you, if you messed up, to start over. Ain't that awesome? Now some folks you mess up with, that's it. You can't start over. Is that all right? But with God, what can I do? I can start over. Amen. Do you understand how relevant the gospel is to you? Do you understand the value of the gospel? How many understand the value of the gospel? Some people would rather have, you know, now, of course, Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. And what he's dealing with is that some people's thinking is they would rather, a swine would rather have some corn than some pearls. Swine don't care nothing about no pearls. You give pearls to Claudia. She'll tell you what to do with them. Is that right? Because she understands the value. It's sort of like, I look at little Bree there. It was sort of like there was a train wreck. And there was a lady with 2 small daughters. And the lady was killed in the train wreck. And as they combed through the wreckage, they saw the lady dead and her little girls. And the little girls were very content. And one little girl had a doll. And when they took the doll from the little girl, she began to cry. She wasn't crying because her mommy was dead. Because she didn't have that level of understanding. So her value at that point in her young mind was, you took my baby doll. But she had experienced a greater loss, even though she couldn't comprehend it at the time. How many understand the urgency of the gospel? And how you need to, the day you hear God's voice, it's the day you need to obey it. And a lot of times, now the devil is doing a very good job blinding people to their real needs. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Tell them that, brother, hit it quickly. This is 2 Corinthians 3, 4, 4, 3, and 4. And we're moving toward a conclusion here. 2 Corinthians 4, 3, and 4. What does that say?
If our gospel be hid,
it's hid to them that are lost. It, because they can't see the value of it. A lot of people know they got to have a job. Huh? That right? A lot of people know I need to feel safe. But a lot of people don't know they're lost in sin. Because they've been blinded. And they can't, and they just feel like Brother Moss and other people, y'all just worry me with that gospel. Hello? Read it, Brother Hillary. What does it say?
In whom the God of this world
have blinded the minds
of
them which believe not.
Lest the light,
that's the comprehension, the understanding of the gospel, the euangelion of Christ, should do what?
Who is the image of God
should shine unto them. And when it shines under you, it dawns on you. Your understanding is open that I have needs. How you going to get your needs met? Who going to take care of you? Who knows that you have needs before you even ask? How you going to get your needs met? You ever thought about that? How do you get your needs met? How in the world are you surviving this bad economy? You think that's by chance? We talked about the fact Wednesday night that every now and then you need to do some bird watching. I seen, Brother Earl, I saw a fat robin during a recession. Somebody didn't tell the robin we're in a recession. Because he got worms and enough to spare. Is that all right? Who gonna take care of you? Who gonna meet your needs? If you need hope today, you should come to Jesus and get your need met. If you need joy today, come on to Jesus and get your need met. If you need salvation today, come on to Jesus and get your need met. If you need peace today, if you feel like you're about to lose your mind, come on to Jesus and get your need met. If you're uneasy and unhappy, I tell you, Jesus can make you happy. Come on and get your needs met. How you gonna get your needs met? You are a needful creature. You can talk about you don't need nobody all you want. It ain't true. Huh? You can't live in this world by yourself. And that if there's a helping hand trying to help you, don't step on it. My question is, how you gonna get your needs met? You a needful creature. Is that right? How you gonna get all this met? Some have criticized Dr. Maslow's model, but I think it's accurate. If my head hurting, I don't want to look at no football game. Huh? If my belly ache, I ain't starting no game. That right? Right. One time, you know, sometimes, you know, food be so good, you have to just stop yourself. And man, one time, I ate so much, bro. Well, I was miserable. You can't sit down. You can't lay down. You're just miserable. And I wasn't studying this. Amen. Somebody trying to break it. I wasn't worrying about that. I'm trying to get my self to feeling better. My question is, do you understand the urgency of the gospel? The relevance of it. The importance of it. How does the gospel rank in your life? Is it something you do sometime? Are you more concerned about your job than your relationship with Jesus? Something to think about, ain't it? You more concerned about a sister girl, a bae boy? You've been trying to holler her for 6 months and she ain't getting you no play. You use your best lines on her. So, girl, you must be exhausted because you've been running through my mind all night. You must be exhausted. Use your best line. Girl, I love you more than a country hog loves city slop. You use your best line. Girl, you are finer than a Montana squirrel stuffed full of casserole. You use your best lines. And she still won't holler at you. You bring out a little Luther. He said, woo, 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 woo. And she still ain't hollering at you. Is that all right? You more concerned. And look, I'm not telling you not to be concerned about baby girl because she's good looking and she could add a dimension to your life. I understand that. But you got to understand, you got a deeper need. I'm closing now. But let me tell you this, final point. Come on to Jesus. He can take care of all of this. He can take care of all of this. All of it. I trust him. Do you trust him? I believe in him. He is the great physician. He's greater than Dr. Abraham Maslow. He's greater than Sigmund Freud, who was an Austrian psychologist who talked about suppressed needs and all of that. Freud didn't even know he needed Jesus. He's greater than the rabbi, the Jewish rabbi. He's greater than Dr. Phil. Is that all right? He's a wonderful counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Is that all right? I need Christ in my life. Without Christ, I'm nothing. Christ understands that I have needs. Christ told me, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Christ has demonstrated how much he loves me. Because greater love hath nobody loved me like Jesus. Did you hear what I said? And I want to tell you, a mother's love is a wonderful love. Can you say amen to that? A father's love is wonderful. The love of a wife is wonderful. The love of children is wonderful. But there is no love that can eclipse or supersede the love of Jesus. God is a God that meets needs. Is that all right? When the nation was led into the wilderness, didn't have any food to eat, God is a God who meets needs, and he rained manna from heaven. When they needed water to drink, he brought water from a rock. Is that all right? I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. When Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego needed some help, he came and put an air conditioner in a fiery furnace. I tell you, he's an on-time God. When Daniel went down into the lion's den with hungry lions, he made lions act like kitty cats. And the lion was saying, meow. Is that all right? Because he's an on-time God. He's a God that meets all of our needs. He will supply. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? He will supply. If you're sick, who you gonna call? If you're broke, who you gonna call? If you're down and out, who you gonna call? You ought to call the man who come to see. Is that all right? You ought to call the man who calls twisted limbs to straighten at his touch. You ought to trust the man who made crippled legs walk at his command. You ought to trust a man who could cast out devils, could raise the dead, could walk on water, could die and said, I'll be alive in 3 days. That's the man you ought to trust. Is that all right? Well, I'm going to my seat, but let me tell you this. The Apostle Paul, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And let me tell you this. The gospel commands and demands a response. So I tell folks about how Jesus died, Sister Smith. I tell them about how he was buried. I tell them about how he rose again the third day with all power in his hand. Is that all right? And so I need to have both an intellectual and an emotional response to the gospel. Now the intellectual response is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Watch this. He that believeth. That's the intellectual response. And then there must be an emotional response. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed. How many are ashamed of Jesus today? Is that all right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, say power, power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. Is that all right? And I hear Paul saying, I hear his voice coming down through the corridors of time. I hear his voice coming down through the centuries. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I hear him say, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Is that all right? And I'm so glad this morning that Jesus Christ, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Is that all right? Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to carry the view, the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Is that all right? Jesus knows I have psychological needs. Jesus knows I have security needs. Jesus knows I have social needs. Jesus knows I have self-esteem needs. Jesus knows I have sex actualization needs. Is that all right? And Jesus will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Is that all right? I tell you, if man's greatest need had been psychological, God would have sent him a psychiatrist. Is that all right? If man's greatest need had been housing, God would have sent him Century 21. Is that all right? If man's greatest need had been health, God would have sent him the U.S. Surgeon General. Is that all right? If man's greatest need had been scientific, God would have sent him Dr. George Washington Carver. If man's greatest need had been legal, God would have sent him Johnny Cochran. But since man's greatest need was salvation, God sent him a savior. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, the name I love to hear. Is that all right? For at the cross, where I first saw the light, oh, and the burden of my heart rolled away, because he understands all about me. Is that all right? It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. I want to tell y'all something. Y'all may not believe this, but this is the truth. If I had a choice between $1 billion or Jesus, I would take Jesus. You say, Moss, you a fool. You might feel that way. But I feel like Jesus is more valuable to me than $1 billion. Now, don't misunderstand me. I understand the financial value of $1 billion, but the value of Christ far exceeds, because the Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Is that all right? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, would you stand, please? In conclusion today, I want to show you how you can accept Christ as your Savior. 5 beautiful steps puts you into Christ. Amen. 5 beautiful steps puts you into Jesus Christ as your Savior. Anyway, the first step is that you've got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Because the gospel is relevant. It's important. That's why you need to hear it. Don't ignore it. Hear it. It's relevant to you. The second thing you must do, you must believe it. John 3:16. God so loved the world, what did he do? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, Without Christ, you're going to perish, but have everlasting life. The third thing you must do is repent. Amen. Acts 2:38. Acts 17:30. You must repent. Amen. They said in Acts 2:36, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You can't pray your way in. And then the next thing you must do to accept Christ as your Savior, you must confess the sweetest name. To roll. Thank you, Braxton. To roll for mortal tongue. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it talks about. Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then finally, yes ma'am and yes sir, you must be immersed or baptized in water. Mark 16:15-16. You know, I thought about something real simple to prove the fallacy of people say you don't have to be baptized. This is simple, but you really can't answer this. Watch this. Mark 16:15-16. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Watch this. He that believeth shall be saved. Is that what it says? So that statement is not true then, is it? Let's do it again. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved. Now, in logic, there's a thing called the law of excluded middle. And this is what it means. Every precisely stated proposition is either true or false. For example, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's either true. No, it's false. Can't be both. It's one or the other. Mark 16. Precisely stated. He that believeth shall be saved. Is that what it says? That's inaccurate, isn't it? But what does the statement say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now either that statement is true or the, and then they run the Mark 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. He didn't say you'll be damned if you don't believe. Well, he did say it. You just missed it. And I tried to help you out. I took out and is baptized to help you out. I just took that out. He that believeth shall be saved. That's what he said, right? That's not what he said. But you making him say that. He said he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't have it both ways. Either you rich or you ain't. Ain't no confusion about that, is it? And so why don't you come to Christ and get your needs met? Are you a needful creature? You need money and a job? Yes, you do. Who gonna supply it? Who gonna make sure you always have a job? Always have money? Christ. Who gonna make sure you're safe? Certainly, we thank the president and the CIA and the security and the military. But you know who makes all that works? Christ. Hello? Who gonna meet your social needs? Who's going to make sure I'm loved like I should be loved and I love like I should love? Christ. Who's going to help me to feel good about myself? Who's going to help me to deal with guilt? I ain't always done the right thing in life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But who helps me to overcome that? And who's going to help me to grow? Come on, get your needs met. You need Christ. And without him, you can't make it. Won't you come right now? As we say, at last I did my Savior and did my sorrow die. Would he that said for such a word as I, oh, had the cross where I first saw a burden rolled away. It was there I received. Oh, now be all the day.